The Gospel of the Lord. In my almost 30 years of ministry, this is the first time I ever get to sit down to do a homily. And the reason for that is because I had knee surgery on Thursday. Thank you, Tracy, for carrying up the gospel book. Thank you, Deacon Andy, for helping me with distributing communion. And thank you, all of you, who've been praying that I had a successful procedure and things are going good. But what I'm realizing is sometimes you just have to slow down and sit down to get a little healing, right? I want to talk about Noah today. Certainly, the images and symbols for Lent is often fasting, prayer, almsgiving, things that are kind of difficult, things we kind of like might perceive as a little dour. But there's a beautiful image and symbol in our readings today that is a different theme for Lent. And that's the symbol of the rainbow, the rainbow. So before I get too serious, I have two Noah jokes. Now at 5 o'clock, there was no reaction. At 8:30 this morning, they all went, oh. So maybe you guys are a little awake. And these are thinking jokes, right, Father? Father had to think about them for a minute. Here we go. Why didn't Noah go fishing? He only had two worms. There's some laughter over here. Okay, so two unicorns, now think about this, unicorns. Two unicorns are standing on the shore as Noah's ark is way out in the water and the floods are coming up onto the land. And the Mrs. Unicorn scolds the Mr. Unicorn and says, "You're always late for everything." Anyway, we all know what a wonderful experience it is to see a rainbow in the sky. Those colors as the light comes through, as the sun comes through. We have beautiful stained glass windows, but there's nothing quite like that kind of beauty in nature. I've actually seen people pull their cars off the side of the road just to get out and look at a rainbow. I've stood in my neighbor's yards with my neighbors taking pictures and talking about the glory of a rainbow after a hard rain. You know, and rainbows are often used in poetry, they're used in stories as a sign of hope, as a sign of good things to come, like the pot of gold on the other side of the rainbow, or even things like we name hospitals Rainbow Baby and Children's Hospital as a sign of hope for our kids. In song, you know, the Wizard of Oz, somewhere over the rainbow. Even the rainbow flags that we see now as a sign of the LGBTQ unity and acceptance. The colors of the rainbow, they're just a wonderful reminder of new life and hope. And for Noah, after 40 days, adrift, weathering the storm, the rainbow appears in the sky to show that God has made a new covenant with Noah and that now Noah's task is to reestablish God's creation, to start over. And it's almost like God is saying, "It's over, Noah. The storms are gone. Never again will I put you through that. Never again will I flood our beautiful earth with water. So go forth, start over. New hope." And the same about us. You know, what about you? What about me? From the storms that we've weathered in our lives, we've all had those rainbow experiences afterwards, right? Most of us had periods in our life where you know, we weathered something that was more like an inner storm. Maybe it was feeling adrift about a relationship or your faith even. Or maybe it was a failed marriage, a divorce. Could be a death of a loved one, a bout of depression, or comforting our failures and trying to figure out, you know, why we sin. Or maybe it's something as like a call to ministry. And if we just are able to stick with it and let it settle for a while and seek wise advice and counsel from those who care about us, or seek reconciliation, or have a good cleansing experience in the confessional, and ask God for guidance and support, in time those storms pass and the rainbow appears and God speaks to us. It's over. Go forth and start again. I want to share with you an experience I kind of had like that a number of years ago. It was a deeply spiritual experience for me. It doesn't mean that I'm more spiritual now or anything great, but it was one of these kind of things that happened in my life, what I call a rainbow experience. I was given the opportunity one time to go on a retreat at a Trappist monastery for 5 days out in the woods in a little cabin called a hermitage. 5 days, the privilege of staying in this hermitage. And it was, for people who know who Thomas Merton is, it was his hermitage. He was a famous Catholic writer. So to be able to go in Thomas Merton's hermitage, I was expecting, oh, I'm going to have some really powerful spiritual experiences. But I have to tell you, I was very nervous about it. 5 days alone for an extrovert like me, no phone, no television, no music, no contact with anybody except nature. And that very first night, I didn't sleep a wink because it was one of those warm spring nights in May and you're out in the woods. If you ever had this experience camping, if you've done it for the first time, you're laying there and you're just like listening to all the noises and wondering if something's going to come and eat you, right? I mean, it was very nerve-wracking, and I laid there all night listening to this, no sleep. On the second day, things got worse, and I started to get a little stir-crazy and a little lonely, only on the second day? What a wimp, right? I was waiting for one of the monks or a hiker to come by to talk to me. And on the third day, I was literally going out of my mind. You know, I got to do something. I got to be busy. On the fourth day, it started to rain. And it rained and never stopped. And finally, I was forced to deal with the silence of the rain. But it was really my own silence or lack of that I was wrestling with. And finally, on the fifth day, the storm passed. And I was finally able to pray after 5 days. It took me 5 days to finally be at peace. And then this is what happened. All the layers, all my personal baggage started to shed. My need for attention started to fade. It only lasted a week, but my need to be busy, my need to have others define me, my phobias, my anxieties, my hang-ups, my ego, all that stuff started to fade. Did it go away forever? No, it didn't. I still have all that stuff. But it was a start. And on that fifth day, something incredible happened. About 7 o'clock in the evening, this gorgeous rainbow appeared across the eastern sky. And that was truly a peak moment because I had a great sense at that point of God's love for me. And I realized that even if I was stripped of everything that's precious to me, my spouse, my friends, my ministry, my parish, everything that defines me, even if all that were taken away, what I learned from that experience is that I am still a loved child of God. God loves me for no other reason but that He is God and I am His. And so is everybody else, no matter who they are, especially all those folks flying those rainbow flags that I used to be so nervous about, and now count as my few closest friends. God loves us, St. Augustine said, as if there's only one of us. He doesn't worry about our accomplishments and whether we're a deacon or whatever. No. That last night, I slept like a baby. And I woke up with a desire to go home and go forth into my family, into my ministry, with new enthusiasm and service. And I look back at that retreat, and I realize in those first few days of solitude, I was weathering my storms, I was wrestling with my demons, and I was being renewed. Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit for 40 days. This is Jesus. I was only out there for 5 days. And you think to yourself, what was that all about? In solitude by himself to be put to the test. Did Jesus have baggage? I think so. He was 100% human, right? He had to have some baggage. He had to have something going on. But he went there to prepare himself for the work of God, for proclaiming the kingdom. And he was comforted and confronted. He was confronted not by the inner demons, but by the demon himself, Satan. And he rode out the storm. And what's beautiful in all that for me is that God sent him angels. We all have angels, don't we, in our lives? The people who care about us, the people who pray for us, our spouses, our best friends, our mentors, our clergy, monks. You know, I didn't realize it till afterwards, but when I got home, my wife said, I was praying for you the whole time. We all have our angels. And we have Jesus speaking to us in our desert moments, in that solitude that we have in our lives. Lent challenges us to weather our storms, to ride them out and confront our demons. And through all our struggles and being excluded and marginalized, God remains faithful to the covenant that he made with you and with me, as he did with Noah. And for us, the ultimate promise of that covenant, of that personal relationship he makes, is coming in 40 days when we renew the feast of Easter, because we are a resurrection people. So if you see a rainbow flag out there, don't judge. Just know we are all made in God's image, and make a new friend. Amen.